To America, welcome to the tongue where our loyalty lies only with warrior, and they will scrap only if I give them the order. And you feeling itchy, you got something to say, just know we hop this way. Nobody else is suited for this other than us. I know it's crazy, but we work with it and don't give a what. Welcome to the show. If you don't know the name, we call it Hop This Way.
Welcome back, our itchy onions and ducks all across the pond, and those that have crossed the salt. We welcome one and all here to the little show that could. That's right. It is us. We, that is the We Four minus our boy Matt. Oh, and we lost Frank there, but Frank will be right back. Frank's been having a little bit of internet issues, but he will be right back with us. But in the meantime, we have holding it down, Miss Stephanie Young. How are you, girl?
Aloha. What's up, guys? So much to talk about this episode.
So much to talk about. And, of course, the very lovely, down below, underneath us here, the one and only Miss Rebecca Nishi. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm doing great. Good to see you. I'm excited for this week. How about you?
Yes. Very, very good show.
Yeah, it's a
very
great,
good episode. I'm sorry.
Great show and another great episode. And look, Frank's getting ready to get some sticky already.
That was my secret plan.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was going to jump out at us or just do the get some sticky. I was like, already.
Oh, missed opportunity.
A little. Yeah, it was a little premature anyways, brother. Welcome to the show, everybody. Again, a great episode this week. Gotta be crooked to get along in a crooked world. Right off the bat, I'm going to ask you your thoughts on this episode, and then we'll delve a little bit deeper into it from there. But before we get into that, I want to thank everybody who is watching the show right now. If you are watching on one of our Facebook pages, let us just say we absolutely love you and thank you so much for the support. But if you could, the best way to support us is to, of course, go on to YouTube and find the Hop This Way show on YouTube. Click the bell to get notifications. Click the bell to subscribe. It helps us so much. And comment. Watch on there and comment on there, because you wouldn't believe the help that it does our show. And we do absolutely love you for that. If you can't watch us live, though, on one of the channels, don't worry. They won't last on the Facebook pages. We take them off. But then we do repost them on YouTube a couple days later. And they will also go up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon. That's right. Hop This Way. It's everywhere. Woo-hoo! It's everywhere. Now, not only that, Steph, we got some other news, don't we? What's
oh,
this?
Oh, look at that.
I'm not showing off or anything. I'm just showing off the merch. We all got it going on here. And Rebecca, you got your Hop This Way shirt going too?
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Oh, my there goodness. It is. Look at that. A quartet. Our
Tom's terrifying with those weapons.
Oh, I didn't even see it. She's going all her version of Hatchet.
How do you miss that? It's terrifying.
Folks, if you wanted to, you can get some of this yourself as well. We've got merch. Go to the link right there in the comment section. The Hop This Way show on Shopify, my Shopify. Go into our comment section. You'll see it there. We got it up there. That's right. And says, or both. You can do both. You can watch on Facebook and YouTube. If you want to do that, that's even better for us.
RCR
coming in hard there. Our favorite new fan. Now we've got the plugs out of the way, folks. I'm going to start with you, Steph. What did you think about this week's episode, Gotta Be Crooked to Get Along in a Crooked World?
Oh, when I wasn't crying? Okay. Okay, when I wasn't ready to throw something, okay. There's so much content. There's so much in this episode. And it really, you know, it, you know, a couple of things we were wondering about, they kind of solidified. So I was absolutely ecstatic and emotional at the same time.
Yeah, the emotions were running high in this one, for me as well. I'm right there with you. Frank, what were you thinking of this episode?
It's a part of a bigger trend. I feel like this season, even though it's been relatively low on the action, especially compared to season two, it's been heavier, and I think more effectively heavier on the dialogue, right? Mm-hmm. So like they're able to keep you in suspense even when it comes to like a politician meeting, right? Even when it comes to interactions where people are just sitting around at a desk, but also even when it comes to conversations between characters, right? And that actually what earned my MVP their award this time in my eyes.
Well said, well said. Rebecca, what about you? What did you think about this episode?
First of all, I wanted to say that the cast is doing a great job. Like everyone gave so much on this season. Mm-hmm. They are all acting so like, how can I say, from the stomach. They are all very good. Right. I'm very, very happy with their work. And this episode is kind of family. Like Myling is grabbing everyone together in a big family. I found that weird, but I like it.
Yeah, Myling is definitely setting the chess pieces where she wants them. And yeah.
Well, she's like the bride. She's so happy in this episode. Like, not Myling.
Is she though? Is she honestly happy, or is she just working the scenes like Myling is known to do?
Let's see.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's jump right into this episode. I mean, this episode takes up, last thing we saw last episode was Father June going down with the gunshot wound, right? And we pick up right there again on the table here. And I mean, it looks like it's touch and go. And anyone who's watching online, forgive the photos today. I didn't have time to edit them properly. So you might see a little bit of us in above and underneath, but we'll get past that. But as you see here, Perry took one to a pretty bad spot there. And the whole hopway is there. They've got their medicine man there, and they remove the bullet, and it doesn't look good. What are you guys thinking here? I'll go to you first, Frank.
I really wasn't sure if he was going to make it or not, because, well, up until they actually removed the bullet, then after that, they actually removed the bullet. I felt better that he was going to make it, right? But then later they took the turn where I did not expect, and we can get into that later, right? But after, at the end of that scene, when they exchanged that look, you know, with Yeonjun and Assam, and it does kind of highlight something from the previous episode, in which it was a completely reckless move by Assam, right? Yeah, he got to play the hero, but there was no long-term thinking, because also the crowds were saying they employed 600 Chinese workers there. So it's kind of like, all right, they're all dead. What's going to happen to the workers now?
Yeah.
And also it was something that could have just gone back to, if you're looking at just the story and the logic and progression of that story, right? It's like, yeah, they could have just gone back a few weeks later with more men and, you know, had a better chance without, had a better, you know, risk to reward ratio. But that, I mean, maybe I was thinking too much into it, but that's what Yeonjun's thinking, right? Because of that, his father might die is what probably what he was thinking in that moment.
Absolutely. Rebecca, what do you think?
Well, going back to the trailer, yet I wasn't sure if he was going to make, because I'm still curious to know who is going to be on that coffin with lots of Hopway guys around.
Yep.
Someone's going to die at some point, but it's not Father June so far.
RCR says the Tong needs to take over the mine.
Yes.
I mean, who's running the mine right now?
Well, I guess nobody now. The crowds are all dead.
So why wouldn't they?
So you just got a bunch of Chinese workers in the desert.
Like, But would the Krauts have anybody coming like checking on them, or were they running independent of everyone?
Well, remember, they were the sons of the other guy that, you know, Father right. June knew. So this may be the last, you know, the end of the line.
The last line. So does that mean our girl, oh, I forget what her name is. Oh, my God, she was great, though. Lil Zeus. Loretta.
Larissa. Oh. I can't. Oh, man, sorry.
Yeah. I think it's Larissa.
To the lady out there for not remembering your name correctly.
But maybe she's running things. She's the only one that really survived, right?
We didn't see maybe her she goes to find young June.
She's got all the little Zeus's running around.
Oh my God. Oh, what if she does get pregnant from young June?
She's got a little Zeus. She's got a little June. She's got a real baby June. Okay. A real baby June.
Wait, let's just interject about our YouTube for a second. How cool is it that, you know, she was so excited about this? I mean, where did she comment? I can't remember where she commented.
In the YouTube. Yeah, it was in the YouTube.
And then also the actress who plays the aunt.
Aunt Violet, yeah.
Oh, I was psyched for her. I said, you were fabulous. You were fat. Because she was awful. And she commented that, you know, a couple of the folks, the guys who played the Krauts, they were from South Africa.
Oh, they were great.
Yeah.
She was great. So, she gave me borderline nightmares.
Yes. So,
amazing.
She's like, I tried hard to be ugly. Something like that.
It was.
Oh, she was amazing. Spencer says it needed to be addressed immediately, but not well thought out. What is that?
I wonder if he's talking about the fight with the Krauts.
Oh, possibly.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch. I liked it. So we got through the Perry scene, and then it shifts to a couple of Irish guys. The ones that Leary got a job, mm-hmm. and then he fired them. Fired their asses afterwards, mm-hmm. and they go into Chinatown and they try to rip off a vendor and they get caught by the police. Oh, you can't really tell on this picture. Sorry about that. But they do get caught by the police, and oh, as we see Bill there. Under the cover of night, they get caught there like a Zack Snyder film. But yeah, they get thrown in jail there. And then we switch again, as we saw it here, Bill going to get his new job. And he's like, all right. He's thinking he's going to be working in the office. And his brother-in-law is like, no, man, that's not, we don't do nepotism here. You start on the bottom.
Here are your hand-me-down boots.
Right. I think I don't like this guy either.
No.
the brother-in-law. I don't think that's saying a lot either. This episode, I found we had a lot of different storylines going on at once here. Frank, you said it. This season isn't as action heavy as the first two, but they are really delving deep into the storytelling, which I'm really loving because I'm a big fan of Aaron Sorkin. So like the West Wing, Newsroom, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And this is like, I find JT is really good at that. And he's good at finding great writer room that can juggle multiple storylines. Now I've heard some backlash from some fans saying, you know, this was the Assam show and now it's the Everyone show. I don't give a fuck. every good show works like this. Every good show or long lasting show, if it's about one person, it starts with that one person and then that builds the family around them and they become just as important as that main character. And that's what I love about this show. It gives if any of these main characters die, it gives it that much more meaning to us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At least that's the way I see it. So I don't see the hate for it.
Well, it also makes the action scenes and the moments with the Assam more valuable because you don't get as many, right? Otherwise, you go the other direction where you kind of, it's almost like you get action fatigue, right? Oh, it's another fight scene. Oh, someone else got their foot cut off. Oh, someone else got kicked across the table. You know, it's like it's one of those things where, is what Brett was telling us, right? The action has to drive the story and also fit in with the story. You can't just have a fight to have a fight.
Exactly.
And actually, it's also something what, I was rewatching this interview that Bruce Lee had with Pierre Burton back in 1971 when he was in Hong Kong, and he was talking about his vision for filming action, and he was talking about the characters needing a reason to actually have the fights, right? Because he was saying that a lot of action films in Asia at the time, it was just, you know, hour after hour after hour of fights just to have the martial arts display. And I think, I wonder if that's something that the showrunners are also aware of, you know, when it comes to what Bruce Lee's vision was for the show, even back then, even back in 1971.
That's a good question.
We have one fight scene, not big one, but the guys that go after the Irish guy. There's a scene there.
Yeah, and that's more of a mob beating, right? Like, we did see that.
That dude's the Chinatown Fredo.
Yeah.
I can handle things. I'm smart.
Fredo. So then we see the boy's dad come to Leary at the Banshee. Shout out to the greatest bar name ever. And Leary's there and he's pleading to Leary. He's like, yeah, I know my boy. Basically says, my boys are a bunch of fuck ups, but they don't deserve to be in jail. Please go do what you can. And Leary
do pit them. Like,
yeah.
It touches his heart when the father says that.
Well, that's just it, right? Because of his family that he lost. So we go from there.
See, here's the thing. So, you know, relevance here, right? This is the stuff that drives me apeshit. Think of how the father is presenting this. Oh, they're good boys, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But they still enter Chinatown and rob someone. Okay. So the classic, think of this chain. They're good boys, but meanwhile they targeted someone. And were we even talking about something about that, Zeus, right before the show started, when there's a different set of rules for certain people over others? Yeah. And let's lead down the chain, you know, he goes to Leary and then Leary is going to need to take action. So why did it never come back to the fact that they were actually assaulting and robbing? They were committing a crime, but they're good boys. So why is there a different set of rules, which eventually leads to reaching out to law enforcement to do special favors? And you can layer that over to today, can't you?
You can also layer that over to Bill in the same show, because he expects to be doing office work, crunching numbers, but he's out there in the field hauling the bricks with the other guys. Which the Chinese laborers had to deal with that for less money. And they had to share bunks. They slept a few hours a night. They didn't know if they were going to get work every day. So it's all in this setting. If Bill's, and also Bill's wife said that, oh, I can talk to my sister to talk to get things moving a little faster so you can just work behind a desk. And just the fact that Bill is saying, oh, I feel terrible for doing all this work. Like, welcome to the world of the Chinese laborers at that time, for more money. Of what that Bill is getting compared to what they would get.
And the treatment, Chinese are subhuman. There, you can have them do it. And again, you can take that and apply that to how this country treats Mexicans.
Yeah. That's very true. Moving on, we go to Atoy. And she's at her brothel. And her one of her rival... brothel runners. One of her rival pimps, basically, is like, okay, these girls that got rescued and that worked on the farm, those were my girls. They don't come back here. And she's like, yeah, the fuck you say. And and then, as you saw, he didn't take it too kindly. And he got his ass handed to him. So not only did Mai come out, or Lai come out and help, but we saw the return of the big man. And somebody please tell me what his name is.
Oh, I saw him on Facebook once, but I don't know. Rebecca? Stephanie?
Yeah, I'm searching. He's a jiu-jitsu black belt guy.
The guy's like 7 foot tall. He's like a jiu-jitsu dude. Damn. Oh,
that's a grip of death.
And right. I was expecting him, you know, you would almost expect in that scene for him to do something worse, but he just kind of like bopped the guy in, like, you know,
that dude,
he could have done much worse.
That dude put you in a huge katami just with his fingers. Sorry. All right.
Do that again?
I'll never forget that.
I know, I was like, that looked a lot worse. things.
Remember that scene from the other season where he's, you know, he puts his foot down on the back guy's back. I can't unsee that pic of that scene.
I love that guy. He's one of my unsung heroes of this show.
There comes Lai.
Yeah. And Lai. And so they all kick him out of there. And Buddy runs with his tail between his legs. Well, after he takes a fall from the second story through a table.
Yeah, I didn't think we were going to see that guy again.
No. But you know, speaking of never seeing a character again, that brought us to the next scene. Happy Jack and Abby having a little reunion, and Happy Jack being like, yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, Lee might be gone, and that's just what happens. You know, people got to pay their dues sometimes. And how funny it was that Lee showed up. Whoops, got that one out of order. Lee showed up there. Hong showed up there. And what are you showing us there, Becca?
Can't see. No.
Get in front of your camera. There you go.
Jason Wong.
Oh, the guy got kicked off the second floor. Blurry.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's badass. as we saw there, though, Chow, Lee, and Abigail all basically ambush Happy Jack. He's not happy, as you can see here. And I did have the picture there. I don't know what happened to it. But we had a picture of Abby pulling a gun on him there. And there we see Happy Jack not quite out until Chow comes to finish him off. And then we get the old, what is that, the Quentin Tarantino Reservoir Dog shot? There were a lot of great shots in this episode, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, they had a really nice pole shot. They're really hitting it on all cylinders this season. I get there hasn't been the most action, but wow, absolutely loving it.
I was surprised. I didn't think that Happy Jack was going to be gone. You know, and no, that makes you really think, what's going to happen to his business?
Well, yeah, I think he's the opium dealer. So what's going to happen?
Right.
Chow takes over. Chow's that guy.
Mylene also has a connection.
Oh, yeah.
So does Buckley by extension. Actually, I think Buckley's setting up Mylene from what I remember from the previous season.
Yes. Oh, right. Setting up the deliveries.
Yeah.
But who was supplying Happy Jack? Who did Happy Jack answer to that didn't live there?
Sad Jack.
And are they might be Sad Jack. Yeah. And are they going to be paying a visit now? Like, it might be somebody that's going to want to come and get retribution.
Mm.
Like,
it wouldn't be the first time we had characters come in from a higher up level, you know. So,
ooh, bring in Maggie Q. I'm just saying.
Oh, please. Love Maggie Q.
Let's bring in some Maggie.
Love her.
So
I also love her activewear line too.
Me too. It's form fitting. I'm not even sorry, honestly. From here we go back to Assam and Yanmi, and she confesses to him that she's been stealing some of the chow.
Why did she do that?
She's not really stealing it either. It's kind of funny.
Right. She's the one who's actually creating it.
Yeah. It's like, you wouldn't have any of that if it wasn't for her.
But not only that, though, Young June was just throwing it around, giving it to fucking people, flooding the market. She could have just said, can I have some of that for my family as well? And he would have been, yeah, of course. Like,
maybe
you're fucking my best friend, and you're literally making me money. I'm already giving other people shit for free. Here's some more. I mean, I think Young June would have done that. I still don't understand why she would take the chance of stealing it. And then, like Steph said, why would you say something to Assam? And now Assam's in that spot where now he's gonna have to, like, the thing we saw from the very beginning, before that the season even started, what was the motto, what was the tagline of this
choose
season?
Side.
Yes, whose side are you going to choose? We thought it was just going to be Hop Way versus the Long Z. And it's not. Like, there's so many different choices to be made here. And this is just another.
Thinking, about what you were saying just before about why she's stealing. Well, first of all, she made a deal for him not bother his father anymore for collecting money. So I think she doesn't think she could like ask for anything more. And even being not being an illegal practice that they were doing, you cannot suppose that you can take things from there because you are making it. You are the employee. You cannot assume that you can have some for yourself, you know? And I don't think he would give to her because of the deal they made. It's like, I already gave you, you know, a huge thing. Like, I'm not collecting from your father anymore. So you're not in the position for asking for more.
Especially since he found out that, you know, she's been getting sticky with Assam.
Yeah. I mean, but if he was I think if she was to ask, I think he'd be down. Like, I don't know. It's fake money. So I don't understand why he would be upset for giving her some Monopoly money. Like,
but see, there's still some other scenes in this episode.
Yeah, there definitely is. And let's get to those. Then we start seeing some of the heartbreaking stuff of this episode, and that's Perry, you know, just kind of going through some PTSD here. And you got to think it's effects of the gun wound. He's got to have, you know, like infection going through his body, and it's starting to ravage his mind. Frank, I'm going to come to you. What did you think in this scene? And I'm just going to let you have kind of the floor with this.
Well, he was having a flashback to the opium wars. Father Young Jin was talking in episode one to Assam that he swam over and in his words, diced the whole crew with just a sword during the opium wars back when they were still in China. And it made me think about something that's off topic, but not really. And just the idea that's promoted that I see on psychology websites, which is fairly disappointing, that Asians don't talk about mental health. And that's simply not true. Like, there is language to talk about that. Mm. It might not be the language that we're used to hearing here. And is it complete? No. Right. But no group has a complete handle on the conversation around mental health, especially as we learn more about it. Right. So that's something that it made me think about, especially as, you know, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but as we see Father June later on in the episode as well. So those are some things that came to mind. Is one, he was remembering the opium wars, and two, it made me think about between the British and the Qing dynasty of China at that time. Overwhelming victory for the British because they were the prime naval power in the world at the time, and the Chinese were using, you know, centuries old outdated technology. But that's getting into other stuff where it talks about how the British were using opium to essentially sedate the masses.
Right.
So of course the Chinese are stuck with a stigma, right? Opium was grown in India, promoted by shipped around by the British Empire and associated with the Chinese, right? Oh, the Chinese are associated with the opium dens, but it was the British that were growing it because of the Indian colony and shipping it around because of the profit. So those are the couple things that stood out when I come to watching Perry in this scene. And Perry hit me hard in this one.
Perry
hit me hard with this one.
Perry was great in this one, honestly. Desmond says, I'm surprised the cops didn't either look the other way or accept the bribe. Yeah, that was kind of surprising. RCR said, none of the industrialists are likable. And thought we'd be losing Father June. Not like this, though.
Yeah,
this was a really tough episode when it came to Father June, and
when he went to the Longzi, I again thought, oh my god, that's it.
Yeah,
he's going to die.
Well, let's not jump ahead too much there. We'll definitely going to get to that part because that was definitely the spot that got me. After we see Young June kind of talk Perry down, we fast forward to the new chief's office, and we see Leary there and talking to the chief and thinking that it's going to be just like the old chief, and even saying, you know, me and the old chief had a way with things. And this chief's like, we don't. And Leary's like, are we going to have a problem? And the new chief actually stood up to him and is like, yo, I'm not the old school. I'm not Irish. I'm an American. And Leary kind of had to take off out of there and understanding this is a new way of things, right? But Leary's getting into the political game. Are we going to either see the chief die from someone else, or are we going to see Leary get the last laugh and have that chief replaced?
I almost chose him for MVP.
Who, Leary?
No, the chief.
Oh, the chief? Only
because he put Leary in his place. Like, no. Yeah. Law is the law.
To the point where Leary took his hat off.
Yeah, I also had my bad moments when I was younger, and I never stole and never broke the law. So I'm sorry.
He has some similarities to Lee in some ways. Like, is he a psychopath? Yes. Is he a racist? Yes. But he clearly has a moral code that he's not going to break.
Yeah,
he clearly has a way that he wants to run things without interference from the outside. He's very rigid in how he does things. Yeah,
he follows the law above all else, but he goes extreme with it as well. He's like a old school Judge Dredd comics. Then we saw, Bill working out there and busting his rump. We talked a bit about that as well. And then it's, I'm in. Getting some sticky, trying to at least, but then
I want to insert something here. Hold on. You totally sounded like you said Yamin instead of Yanmi.
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 Get some sticky, Yanmi.
Yanmi.
Intentional? We'll never know.
You will never know. But that's the way we'll always say it, Yanmi.
I just had to add that.
Yeah, so Mylene, now I can't say anyone's name, comes in.
Mylene, I mean.
She comes in and invites Assam to the wedding. And is it surprising? Assam says yes. But I guess what choice does he have, though, really? Because they've just formed an alliance and it is his sister.
And people know that it's his sister now.
Yeah, exactly. It's not exactly, you know, hidden news.
That's what she says. He asks her why is she inviting him, and that's why she answers, because you're my brother. Just simple as that. And as Assam is a good boy, he felt like, oh yeah,
he's a good boy.
He's a good boy.
He's such a good little boy. Good little boy. Good little Assam. Good little Assam.
And then it comes to the next scene we see is one of my favorite characters with one of the most sus characters on the show. It was Hong and his new friend. I never see
Marcel.
Marcel, yeah.
This actor's great. That's playing Marcel.
Yes.
I do not.
He's a Broadway guy.
At all.
You don't like him.
I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm just saying I don't trust him.
You don't trust him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know him enough to say that I don't like him, but there's just something about him that just, I'm like, ooh, yeah. This guy's got bad guy written all over him.
He's got a lot of confidence for a Chinese performer during that era.
Yeah.
In that place.
Yeah. Seems like he has some good sponsors.
He does.
Sponsors.
Uh-huh.
We're all so protective of Hong.
Yes, we are.
Right, we are.
Of course.
We should be.
God protect the little brother.
Yeah, man.
I think the guy acts like some world citizen, you know, like he's not from there. He's not. That's why maybe he's more confident, because he doesn't have bonds. in Chinatown, San Francisco, wherever. He travels the world singing, so he's like, he's free. I see him more like that.
It does make me wonder too, because when Bruce Lee, because seeing this is a Bruce Lee inspired show. When Bruce Lee first came back to the U.S., he was actually born in San Francisco. And when he came back, he came back to San Francisco for a while before he went up to Seattle and went to college. And when he was in San Francisco, a lot of interesting things happened between him and the people who were kind of the head honchos in Chinatown at the time. And later on, when he moved back down with Linda and when she was having Brandon, or about to have his son Brandon at the time, they were in Oakland, which was across the bay from San Francisco. So Bruce Lee himself actually knew the Bay Area of the 1960s very, very, very well. So it does make you wonder, like, how much of this might be inspired by different crowds of people that Bruce Lee might have met at the time.
Oh, true.
You know, it's like, and it doesn't even have to be related to any like direct actual experiences he had, but just San Francisco in the 1960s. You know, it was a very cutting edge time. You know, it was the founding spot of the Black Panthers. Not San Francisco, Oakland, but you know, it's the same Bay Area, you know, and also dealing with a lot of the conflicts within Chinatown at that time. So it's interesting. It's interesting to like kind of see like all these potential ties because of San Francisco. Sorry, Rebecca, but I just San Francisco being a center for Chinese culture for a very, very long time in the West. You know, ever since then.
Bruce Lee was born in America. Exactly, because his father was an opera singer and he was making a tour.
Yep.
And so they stayed there for a year and his mother got pregnant during the trip.
Nice. So Bruce got a little sticky.
Bruce's father.
Bruce's dad. That's
what I'm sure Bruce did too. But
yeah.
He was a charismatic dude who could fight.
That was it. He was a badass. Sorry, I lost our spot here. Speaking of badasses, where were we? Ah, that's right. So Hong and his sus boyfriend. And after that, we see Bill in the bathtub soaking and after a hard day's work, after an honest day's work. And his proud wife comes in and he plays it tough. What's that?
Kieran's nude scene.
Yeah, nude scene. And then we see Emily showing that she's quite proud of him.
And little Bill.
She's saying, hey, let's see your little Zeus. And yeah.
I love how she's so like right to the point. I love her.
She's so direct.
And she's so in love with him until now, even after 5 kids. I love this couple.
Yeah,
they're so great. Cute.
I'm rooting for them too. They're a cute couple.
Got five kids for a reason.
And then we see three guys from Chinatown that have left kind of Chinatown, and they go out into the Irish area and find a guy and jump him.
Chinatown's as you can see here.
What's that?
Chinatown's Fredo's.
That's it. Fredo's starting all the shit. And yeah, they jump this guy out there, and you know that's just gonna have some repercussions. But before we can get to that, we see oh my god, these pictures. I am so sorry, folks. I had no time. But that's Lee and Abby. They were cuddling
Abby.
Up and then Abby. Yeah, Abigail, right?
Right.
So I call her Abby. Like, I don't know.
Marbury Coast Abby.
I feel like we're tight like that, even though we've never met. Lee and Abigail are there, and you know, they're sharing a moment, and then she explains how her husband died and what made him different than Happy Jack and why he was a good man as opposed to Happy Jack being a piece of shit who didn't deserve to be on the earth as long as he did. And basically she says she had no regrets for what happened and for pulling the trigger on Happy Jack. What do you guys think of this relationship? We're seeing a lot of relationships in this season. We've got Assam, and oh my god, and then we've got of course Liang and Mai Ling, And now here, Lee and Abigail, Bill and his wife. I mean, this has been the season of relationships. Who's been your favorite relationship thus far? Going to go with you first, Steph.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I'm putting you on the spot. Just
who's my
like
favorite?
And if you say Hong and his new boyfriend.
See, that's tough. That's really tough. Because, you know, I mean, in this season, I do actually, well, I do like Asam and Yanmi.
Yeah.
I do. And it's interesting when we see, you know, people comment in the warrior group, they miss Penny. And I get it. But yeah, there's a different dynamic here. And it's interesting seeing, you know, okay, let me just jump into this. I definitely see a little bit of hypocritical behavior in how women are seen when they're surviving and hustling. You know what I mean? Like, we could have seen, let's go back to Abby. You know, you got a certain vibe to her, but now you're seeing her moral code, right? Yeah. And same with Yanmi. You know, I've seen some people comment about, you know, oh, she's up to something or whatever they commented in our group. But she's a survivor.
Yeah.
She's a survivor in a man's world. And, you know, she's right to the point with him. Instead of someone giving him fluff, you know, she addresses issues with him. Mm. So I think it's the accountability part that he needs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a little bit of let me bring you down to reality, Asam, that I think that he needs in those moments.
Because so, he might be at that point where he's starting to believe the hype of the poster. Mm-hmm. Of him as the Chinatown hero.
And how they have her deliver lines, it you can see it actually makes such a big difference in that moment. Yeah. It's not fluff. It's like, no, this is the real world. Hi.
The first and she's blunt. I felt like empathy for this couple because I thought the previous girlfriends from of Asam, they were all from different worlds from him. And she lives there. She reminds him of the riot, everything that happened. She's living the same reality. Yeah.
So is that your favorite couple then?
No, mine is Bill and Lucy.
Bill
and Lucy. Oh, I love it. I love it. They have a beautiful relationship. Yeah, and I heard you said that earlier too.
And Abigail and Lee. They started in a very, how can I say,
messy manner.
yeah,
a very bad place. And now, yeah, in this episode, we understand why she became that. So she's not, and so we understand why they are living like a real couple, then trust each other and etc. Because how did she come from there to a good wife?
Yeah, right.
You had to understand that. Now you do.
Frank, you got a favorite couple so far?
Abigail and Lee.
Nice.
She's a tough, tough lady to go from a widow to running a bar as a black woman in the Barbary Coast in the 1870s. So she's Barbary Coast Abbey, and she's shown she's capable of anything because of who she cares about. So she's already put a bullet in a few people because of Lee. So like, I don't think that list has been completed yet.
Agreed. Chad Golden, my roommate, chiming in here, saying Father June and Young June's my favorite relationship. It really shows how Young June is still a child, or at least his father's child. Like you saw the love here, and it's like, I mean, there were some really heart wrenching moments in this episode, but this season altogether, Chad, yeah, you're right. You're seeing that, especially once they got that reconnection. I thought it was really big. RCR says Young June and Valentina.
You mean little Zeus and Valentina?
Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it.
Oh, let's go back to that. So Larissa Valentina did clarify on our YouTube. She did. that it really, you know, it was not a dig. That it, you know, who came up with it? Someone who was.
I know, but you think that whatever. You think Brett didn't know? Stop it. Little juice. Little juice. Oh my
God. You got the juice now, Zeus.
That's going to be t-shirt. That's our next t-shirt. Speaking of t-shirts, folks, I would like to show you some stuff here.
Oh, we should have someone cartoonize Valentina.
Here, as you can see, there's a nice shirt there. If you wanted to find some, you can go. We've got my Shopify page, the Hop This Way Show .myshopify. To get your very own Hop This Way merch, we got merch, folks. That's right. Hop This Way mug as well. And we've got, yes, that's right. You got to have a little bit of wine when you're watching some Warrior. And why not do it in Hop This Way style? Love it, folks. Go out and get it. Get some now. And it helps support our show as well, because I know this doesn't look like top notch, whatever, but this does cost us a little bit to put the show on and bring it to you. So any little bit of help that you can do, we greatly appreciate. That's another reason why we ask for the help for following on YouTube as well. If you go to YouTube and give us a watch and a follow there, the Hop This Way Show. And the comments from YouTube page really do help quite a bit. So, and also, folks, don't forget, if you can't listen or watch us live and you're listening on the go, you're one of those people like me who like to listen to podcasts, you can find our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon. And that is our quick little announcements there, little plugs, cheap plugs. That's what we do. I figured we had to get to a little happy there, because you know we saw some sadness happening here, but then young June shows up at the chop shop and tells Jan Mi. I mean, I thought he was about to ambush her here. I didn't know what was about to happen at this point.
He appeared out of nowhere here,
like really, like
he tweeted out of the wall.
He's got some Batman vibes going on. I'm not gonna lie. I'm Young June. But he tells Young Mean, he's like, listen, we need to double production. She's like, I can't do that on my own. He's like, no, I know. You're gonna teach some people. And this is smart on his part, especially knowing what's going on with Assam and her as well. This is probably a good move, because then it's nothing that can really come between the two of them anymore if he can just eventually replace her. At least without having to hurt her. Like a
threat.
Oh, yeah.
Something happens to you, we never know.
Oh, yes.
He sounded like making a threat, or like at least to make her to aware. Be alert, not to feel too comfortable. Mm. On her position.
He could use Jan Mi as leverage against Assam later.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thanks to my link.
And how many episodes do we have left? This was episode 8 or 7, I should say. Mm-hmm. And there's 10 episodes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
And Young Jun is really becoming Michael Corleone, isn't he? Becoming like confident and a little bit like bad. He's becoming very,
very rough. Cold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He is getting paranoid too, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot of paranoia going on there.
But that scene is exactly why, you know, Yanmi's spidey sense would say, no, she wouldn't be able to ask him.
Yeah.
Well, then. And the interesting thing too is that, you know, he says, well, you're the only one who knows how, but this is what I thought of. Who's the other person who would be the closest to knowing how to do that outside of her family? Is Assam. Mm. He's right there making it with her. So it's, you know, double trouble.
Yeah. Well, speaking of trouble, just when we thought we seen the last of the Secret Service man, he is back from the grave, sporting a nice little scar on his cheek. You can't see it here though, from where he got shot in the face, literally taking a bullet for Officer Lee, as he tells him here, and telling Lee, listen, you're not done with the Secret Service. I don't care. You're basically coming with me and finishing this job, or I'm taking you in. So it looks like to have another Godfather reference, just when I thought I was out, they bring me back in. Yeah.
Well, how fitting is it, Nick Corleone?
Right. Wow. Wow. That all just happened. Look at that.
Shout out to him for his comments last week too.
Thank yes. you. Hmm.
That helped a lot. What do you think the Secret Service guy is going to have Lee do now?
Whatever he wants.
He's still all about getting the plates, right? Like, that's his want. That's the only thing he cares about is getting those plates back.
Well, what was the last lead that they had?
Was in Chinatown.
Yeah, Hopway headquarters.
Yeah.
He hasn't really had a chance to reinvestigate since then, because then he got sent to Georgia. So I guess they're just kind of starting from there again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they got their last lead was Happy Jack, where they were supposed to go see Chow. And they got fucking ambushed by Chow and Happy Jack.
No more Happy Jack.
No more Happy Jack, which is making a lot of us happy.
Is he not going to ask what he and Chow did together, disappeared and come back? No one's going to ask that. He just asked him what happened to his family or whatever.
I think they know better. I think everybody knows better, especially when it comes to them. Right? So... I don't know. We're going to see. I mean, there's two episodes left.
Three
episodes left. I almost cut us off of one.
I know, right? That's one episode away. That you can't lose one. That's too stressful.
The one thing that I love about this show, as opposed to other shows that are on other streaming services, we're not getting cheaped out along the way. Like, where it's like the first episode one is like an hour long. And then the next one's 48 minutes, then 30 minutes. Like, they're always long episodes. So we're going to get like three very long, in-depth episodes, and I can't wait. Now, it has been light on the action for this show, which is still a lot of action. But I'm expecting things to ramp up over these last three episodes. And the one that's going to be, I think, is going to be the worst. Not the worst, but I mean like the most heart-wrenching and the bloodiest. Is it going to be next episode? But it's going to be the second. Nine's going to be the penultimate episodes are always the bloodbath. And I think we're going to see more of it. Before we get to more bloodbath and pre-cog, calling these out here, precognition. Let's get back to the show. Atoy and Mai Ling are meeting up with Atoy's rival, Pimp. And Mai Ling basically sides with Atoy. And even though Atoy's like, yo, I'll give you a little bit, and Buddy thinks it's an insult, Mai Ling's like, sit the fuck down. You're lucky Atoy's giving you everything, anything at all. And then maybe my most favorite moment is this look here. Yeah. Lee Young is so proud right here. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely loved it. I'm like, oh my God, like just the pride that he has there is like, okay, I don't need to be the leader. You are the true leader of this Tom.
He always do that, like admiring her when she speak tough to other people. Like when she acts like the boss, he totally loves that.
Oh, he loves it.
He's a sub for sure. She's the dom, he's the submissive. We saw that in season two. He literally is the sub. I forgot. Oh my Lord, good for her. I love her even more now.
He's also like impressed, because I think that the timing of that, he needed to see that from her.
Yes,
especially because of you know how Khun Pak has been, you know, putting, not saying putting some doubt, but just, you know, making a few observations, and she needed to flex, but in the right way. Yeah. So she in the timing of that was just great because she did not even miss a beat and she was right there, right up to him. She was not intimidated. Who knows what she's thinking inside, but she was not intimidated and stepped right up to him. Sit down. Like, you do not mess with that tone. Oh. And she was the enforcer in that moment.
Can I just, and I say, like, we do this every week and I say it with every different actor. Can this week we need to give Diane her flowers too, because she has been killing it since day fucking one on this show. Like we're always talking about Olivia and how great and majestic Olivia is and how she commands the screen when she's on. But the only time Olivia is not commanding it is when Diane's on screen with her. And Diane is that huge presence over everyone, even Assam. Like, Assam tries to play tough guy around her and it doesn't work on her. Like, nothing phases her. And Mai Ling is like, oh, I get so much more respect for her each and every week for her character and for Diane as well as an actress for being able just to put that out there each and every time she's out there. That she is the only time we've ever seen her kind of in a weak state. Was a few episodes ago when she was in jail and they were hosing her down.
Yeah, notice how she goes from sit down and she can shift over and shift gears and come to my wedding.
That's yes. It was so good. And I mean, again, she's that Machiavellian character. Frank, is she... Are you seeing this the way I'm seeing this, or am I the only one seeing this, where she is just placing pawns everywhere, even with these wedding invitations?
Well, she invited her brother. Mm-hmm. She's getting married to the baddest dude in Chinatown. She invited her brother, the second baddest dude in Chinatown.
Yes.
She's extending an invitation to the woman boss of the Hapwei territory, who's Atoy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's connect. She has still a certain degree of leverage over Buckley. So,
right.
Yeah, she is. Is
I
interesting.
Know what is her plan? Remember on the trailer when she comes in a carriage, like a queen.
Yeah.
That's probably the wedding. So she wants everyone to see her.
I forgot
like
all about that.
Yeah, is in the preview for the next episode as well.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
They show him. And she said to Assam, you can bring your friend also.
So, oh, my God. The wedding's going to be next episode, which means it's going to end off on a clip. I'm calling it now. It's going to end off on a cliffhanger with the start of a bloodbath at the wedding.
But look at how they ended the preview. How did they end the preview? Atoy storming away.
Hate weddings. Yeah.
I haven't seen the preview for next.
By the way, the dynamic between Atoy and Assam this season has been hilarious.
Yes.
When they were having that smoke
together.
Oh
my God. They're the real brother and sister on the show, though. Like, absolutely.
Yeah, she always tells him, like, what are you doing? You're an idiot.
Oh yeah, crap. Why are you saying that?
Chad Golden said red wedding.
No,
you don't know. That's Game of Thrones reference.
I know.
I stopped watching Game of Thrones after the Red Wedding. The Red Wedding is one of the most devastating things I've ever watched on television history.
I still don't get it. So should I be just stay blissfully ignorant?
It's a wedding that is well named. It gets red.
Oh, it's red.
Bloody. Oh yeah.
You know what's funny?
Bloody.
I was gonna save this for next week, but I'll just go and say it now. I was looking at Mylene's wedding dress in the previews, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's not quite historic. That's not quite culturally accurate because every Chinese wedding dress, a traditional Chinese wedding dress, is red.
Mm.
Maybe it still will be.
Dude, too soon. Too soon. It hasn't even happened yet. Too soon. John Punsalan says, I love Atoy and Assam together.
Me too.
Yeah,
forgot about Yami and thought that they were going to go back together in this episode when they were together. And then I remember, no, there's Yami.
There's Yami.
In the picture.
Man. What do you call, so when it's two dudes that get together that are like best friends, you call it's a bromance.
Yeah.
What do you call it when it's a dude and a girl when they're like besties? Is it just besties?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is it when it's girls? Do you get? Oh, I almost got myself canceled. I didn't mean it though, but it just rhymes with bromance.
Yes.
How about them sabers? Let's move on. so then we shift on to young June, and Father June has gone missing, and young June loses his mind, tells everybody to go out looking for him, and then we shift to Larry at the Banshee, and people are freaking out because the boys are still in jail and they all want blood, so they're going to go to Chinatown and get their blood. And Larry's not dumb. He's like, listen, this is going to result in more deaths again. Like, I will fucking handle this. And he goes down to Chinatown for the first time. And what a great shot this was.
Oh, yeah.
Looking over his shoulder at the poster on the wall of Assam there.
What was his exact words? Like, fucking hell.
Bloody hell or some shit. Yeah, or fucking hell. So good. He comes in there, and of course, he is greeted by Assam, Hong, and the rest of the.
Oh, look at that shot.
What a great shot. I mean, and again,
boy band.
Who directed this episode? If somebody could look that up, because whoever directed this episode, great shots in this episode again. And then another great shot here, the over the shoulder there, and you could see the full crowd in the background here. And the Hopway standing in their territory, and Larry just being like, listen, I don't need any more bloodshed. And Assam's giving him the gears, though. Like, he's giving him the gears pretty hard here. And but of course, Larry's not going to back down. But he explains things out to him. He's like, you stay your side, we'll stay our side, and let's not have any more bloodshed.
Go ahead. Okay, back to the hypocrisy here.
Sorry, Frank. Go ahead, Seth.
Yeah,
well, just the hypocritical portion, you know. I mean, you know, Leary's saying, okay, well, you know, your guys came out of, you know, Chinatown and did this. Well, what started it?
Yeah.
Your guys stepped into Chinatown. So why all of a sudden can you justify that, oh, you guys were the ones that were wronged? No. Right, who were the instigators?
It did seem, though, that Leary accepted that. He was like, oh, yeah, you kind of gave him that. Like, yeah, you're right. It was just like, let's avoid more bloodshed. What were you about to say, Frank?
Well, the show, maybe, you know, a cause and effect within the show was the fact that the reason that Larry even decided to walk down to Chinatown and have negotiations with Assam was because when the Irish mob did try to use violence, there was a deterrence. Right. So it's one of those things where it's kind of like looking back at episode 9 of season 2 is one of those things where it's kind of like, okay, there's a certain point that you can't cross. Otherwise, there will be physical action for self-protection. Right. And because of that deterrence that's carried over through the season, Larry is now able. Larry now feels the need to negotiate with Assam. Otherwise, maybe he would have just been like, "Yeah, nah, let's go." And I fuck these guys, right? So let's just go run them over.
Yeah.
Right? But last time they tried it, they couldn't. Right. Mm-hmm. So now there is that need for dialogue now because, the people in Chinatown have shown in this story, right, in this show, they have shown that there's a certain point that can't be crossed, right?
Yeah.
So that's one. And the other part is I forget who the writer was. It might have been Brad King or it might have been Tropper, but he was talking about how they wanted to highlight three worlds in this show: the Chinese, the Irish, and the aristocrats. So right now is looking like the Chinese and the Irish might have some form of tenuous alliance and look towards the aristocrats because of that dialogue. Yeah, because of that dialogue when Leary said, you know, they would love for nothing else than for us to kill each other.
Yeah.
So that's almost to me reads almost like Leary saying, okay, you're my enemy, but maybe you don't really have to be. Maybe it's not really like an organic you know, making of hostilities.
And who is it? Yeah. You start to realize there's other sides that are pushing the buttons here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're being pawns again by somebody else.
Let me just say the director of the episode is Danny Gordon, another badass woman on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Well done. Danny Gordon.
Nice. Danny.
Danny. Oh, nice. Well done. Yeah, great job with this episode. And then, I mean, I legit bawled at this next scene. I'm a routine crier anyways, but I mean, Perry, I messaged Perry just to tell him on how well his acting was in this episode.
There's no way I could have messaged him. I would have been bawling.
And it was just absolutely heart-wrenching watching him try to take on the long Z here. And, you know, you thought for a while that maybe they were going to attack, and then you see Lee Young in the background, and then he starts telling everybody, nope, get out, and they all start to leave. And then we don't see anything. We go back and we see Young June and some of the Hop Way still on the streets looking for Father June. He's like, I can't find him anywhere. And then we see coming in from the fog, Lee Young and Father June, and Lee Young's got his trench coat over Perry. And I mean, what an absolutely beautiful scene. And Father June, I don't know if he's going through dementia or what. You know that something's getting to him, though. He's not, he's really confused, in a confused state. And you see it here, and he's kind of looking at Young June and Hong and not knowing who they are. And he doesn't want to go with them. And it takes Joe telling him, like, listen, you're home. This is your home. And Father June replies, home. And he finally goes off with them. And then what a great moment here. As Young June, Jason, who's just killing it this season as well, hands that trench coat back to Joe. And I mean, Joe's just fucking cool, man. Just so cool. Throws a jacket on, doesn't even put his arms in it, just throws it out a la James fucking Brown back in the day. Hands
behind his back under the jacket.
Right. So cool. And just walks away. Because much like Lee, he may be the only other Superman character on this show that will always do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, you could always count on Lee. Like, he's going to do the right thing. And to me, this was a very, very emotional scene overall that just had me in tears, and maybe more than it should have. But I just thought it was absolutely beautifully written, beautifully directed, and the acting was just, I mean, oh my God, just so good. RCR says, broke my heart more than any scene ever. Yeah, it was good. What did you guys think?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Lee Young is the very, how can I say? A Sifu is a martial arts leader. He's like the guy that always does the right thing. He's not in the side of the law in this context, but in among his tongue, his friends, he will be the one who always make the right decisions. And he looks to me like the Bruce Lee characters on the movies. He will kill. He will do something for revenge, but for the people that he cares about, for his family and for his tongue, he will always be the hero. He will always do the right thing.
Exactly. Steph?
Of course I was bawling on the train, of course I want to hold it together, right? That's scene, those two scenes were beyond emotional. Mm-hmm. Wrapped up in those were, you know, my Buddhist white daddy showing respect to my Chinese grandfather. And it's like all of those emotions are all mixed in, right? But also it's just, you know, that's why, again, Lee Young, so here you go. So I was on the train this morning, and because of that episode, of course, I'm writing a rant, okay? So I literally dictated a rant to myself, and I thought about posting it, right? So if you put that picture back up for a sec.
Whoops, Raul, you're on.
Right? On the left is my grandfather, and he came, he crossed the salt 85 years ago. And this show takes place 145 years ago. So we are not too distant from that. And that's one of the times my grandfather went back to China. And he would go back and he would bring things to the village. And I need you guys to look at this. Because my grandfather and Perry's family are from the same place. We are Yongs. So Perry spells it Y-U-N-G. We are Y-O-N-G. So to say that this hit home is such an understatement, because there's the respect to the elders. And that's what that scene was. Do you know what I mean? That is what came before anything, is showing that respect towards your elders.
That's awesome.
And then it also just ripples to myself, just, you know, everything else going around. I mean, you know, parts of Chinatown in Boston were totally overtaken. You know, what, the five Chinatowns? I think there was a movie talking about how Chinatowns were cut, you know, all over the country. But it was one of the few places we were allowed to live, right? So to see all of that and, you know, have all of those similarities, it just hit home. It just hit home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to actually have, you know, these, all of these commonalities, but, you know, there's not a lot left to Boston Chinatown. Yet every Sunday, even when my mother would blow it off and my sister would blow it off, I would go and have dim sum with my grandfather. And then when we were finished, and sometimes we would say nothing. And it's so there's that silence too, yeah, with an elder. And then we would walk through Downtown Crossing, we would stroll, and we would just stroll like that. You know, he hadn't lost his faculties, but that moment of walking with that elder, and then I would see him off and he would walk through Boston Common and head back over to his, you know, old folks' apartment. So my sister, I know, was bawling in that scene, and all of it just hits home. It is our story and so many others too. So,
well,
yeah.
Thanks for sharing. That's awesome. Of you. All right. So just like on this show, I have to be the disciplinarian. I'm just kidding. I'm not a disciplinarian. But the one that doles out all the discipline in the Hop way is Assam. And when he heard about a couple of guys from Chinatown, as we mentioned earlier, jumping that other guy and having to deal with Leary, he's like, okay, I'm going to go take care of this. And he goes into a toys establishment and backhands one of the guys when he doesn't give him, one, respect, and two, the truth.
But isn't that Yanmi's brother?
Yeah, I believe it's Yanmi, because he even says to him, he's like, it's like you were hiding with your dad while the riots were going on, and we were out there, you know, watching people die.
When you said I was just doing what you would do, I was wondering what Assam was going to say. Because in my head, I wish Assam would be like, you really think you're me, dude? Like, seriously?
You were hiding.
You had to go 3-on-1 on one.
He's got a poster up over the wall. That's me up there, not you, bitch.
You had to go 3-on-1 on one guy taking a piss. Seriously? You're trying to compare yourself to me? Like, yeah. I thought he was going to hit him just for that.
So did I. And it's great. So he tells him to go on, which was great.
Hop off.
Some great
pop of great
facial acting from Assam. I love it. And then the best is, as this is all happening, a toy's upstairs watching, and of course he looks up and he's like, what are you gonna do?
The smile was the best.
Yeah.
When she shook her head and he just kind of does like a sheepish grin, like sorry, I did it again.
Yep, gonna do it again. I'll do it again. And then they went and they chilled and talked and did some more of this amazing sibling, even though they're not sibling, connecting. And I love them together, especially when Lai's around. But Lai wasn't around.
Oh!
Lai was playing Lai Spy.
How did I forget about this part?
I love that part.
She's checking on Strickland's men, especially the big dude who she got her Psy into. Her Sith into.
I got to say something about Jenny. Because Jenny and Joe Taslim are the best athletes on this show. And just like a little thing that Jenny did when she was in the grass, right? And the way she just kind of sneaks off, it's like, it's like a snake. I was like, it's like little things like that is what makes me go, oh,
yeah.
She's top level. You also notice the look she gave when she saw Atoy wincing? So I think after, you know, she's realizing she's stepping up a little bit. Yeah. Like she's going to have to turn into a protector in a way.
Well, not, yeah, too. But I wonder also, was it last episode where Atoy told her that you're not ready, I'm not ready. I'm wondering if this is another, like, because of what happened with the other pimp showing up today or this episode, if that gave Lai the confidence to be like, okay, now I'm ready. Mm. And that's why we saw her out there scoping Strickland's men. Mm. We also saw Strickland, and I don't have the photos for this, but we did see Strickland and Leary go meet with Buckley and basically be like, listen, we will help you win this mayoral race. We will get that other douchebag to get off your back because obviously you can't beat him because you have no charisma whatsoever, but your interests align with ours. Go ahead,
Nelly did say that Strickland likes the Chinese brothels. That's true. Lai works in a Chinese brothel.
Ah.
So you think she's going to be the one that takes out Strickland?
I don't know. That would be fabulous.
I don't know how I feel. I feel it's more satisfying if she takes out his henchman. Like the one that she had problems with, it feels more satisfying if Atoy is the one that actually gets to finish him. Because it would have been like if Atoy was the one to finish off that guy that she killed that second season up against the thing where she went in his mouth and finish him already. Like if had that been Atoy that got that killed, it wouldn't have felt got that kill. It wouldn't have felt as meaningful because Liar had already had that kind of semi backstory with that character, right? Like, the revenge factor, I think, with Strickland would have to go with either Atoy or it has to be
Nelly
Davenport.
That would be good.
If it comes to the point where Strickland is over top of Atoy and about to kill her, instead of having a man rescue her, it's Nelly that saves her. With a shotgun? Oh my god, I would absolutely love that. I think that'd be a great way to handle it too. I'm getting tired of people getting their hands on a toy. It's become a pattern and I'm getting PTSD. Yeah. But she's still healing though from last season though. Like she got a lot of hands put on her, and if it wasn't for Mai Ling, a toy maybe doesn't survive. Probably doesn't survive. But we spoke of Leary and Strickland paying a visit to Buckley. But that wasn't the only visitor he got, because shortly after that, the candidate comes over and is like, all right, I'm dropped out, but you're a piece of shit. And he's going to get his 2 cents in there. And Buckley's like, all right, keep barking, little dog, and move along. But he's basically like, you're a nobody. You're going to be no one. And you can see, like, even though Buckley played it cool, he's like, fuck, man. I need to take this out somehow. And how does Buckley do that? Buckley does it by getting some sticky. That was the only picture I was willing to take from that scene.
He didn't even look like he enjoyed it that much.
No, he was. That was some hate
power.
That was some hate fucking going on right there.
She was not hating it, but
and that's where we see she thrives on that.
Oh,
she likes
for
the
sure.
power.
Oh, there's my buddy Billy William O'Sullivan. Thanks for stopping by, brother.
Thanks for coming.
If you get a chance, check out Warrior. I think you'd really love it, Sully. Honestly, it's a great show. I think it's right up your alley there. I compare it, and I was talking about this the other day, and then I saw somebody say the same thing on the thread here, but they use it in different context. When I think, when I was trying to compare what Warrior is like to other people, I'm like Peaky Blinders, Breaking Bad, and I just mean for the drama and the action that's in the show. That's what I would say to you as well, Sully. If you like those shows, I think you'd really, really dig this one. It's that's awesome. Great to hear. Great show. The candidate says he's on his way. Buckley gets some sticky. Gets some sticky. And then we end things off with Young June and Hong talking about a song. And I think Young June's really starting to make up his mind on a song.
Acting wise, this was the big scene for me with Jason.
Yeah, and he's trying to gauge where Hong's loyalties really lie right here. What'd you guys think with the ending right here? Becca, I'll start with you.
Well, I don't know if he was like testing Hong. It was more like talking to someone that was there for hearing. Hong looks very hurt that the brotherhood between them is
falling apart.
Yeah. And you talk about Young Jun being paranoid before.
Mm-hmm.
On this scene, he shows how paranoid he is and how he starts to feel like he has to always be looking on his shoulder because he doesn't know who to trust. Mm-hmm. And his line saying that peace never lasts, and when the deal with the Long Zin blows up, they have to know who to trust. He will have to have an army, and I don't think he's wrong about it. His concern is quite, clever.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Frank? Do you think Young June is playing it right? Is he playing it clever here, or?
We made a Michael Corleone analogy earlier, and in Godfather 2, Michael Corleone feels more and more alone, right? Mylene in this show is feeling less and less, more and more empowered because of who she's getting behind her, especially with the wedding coming up. Young June's going the opposite direction. It's like, oh man, the fact that he's watching his father deteriorate right in front of him. I'm sure the man that he thought of as invincible, he already saw Bolo go away in the first season.
Right.
And who the other guy who he thought was indestructible, he doesn't trust his best friend. He thinks Hong is too inexperienced because he said, I forget how fresh you are. He thinks Hong is too inexperienced to really be a part of the decision making.
Yep.
And he knows he can't trust Mylene. So who does he really have to go to?
And a key point is you could hear him breathe and the sighs. So when they were filming it and the sound, all of the emotion was coming out. Those fine, fine little, you could hear him breathing. And all I could think is just, he's a little bit down,
mm-hmm.
He's, probably slightly anxietal, but resigned that, all right, he has to deal with trust issues. Now it's a huge letdown. He seemed bummed the fuck out, basically, absolutely. And just to the point where I could hear it in his breath. In that scene, that was the best scene for me from Jason.
RCR says, much like Frank said, June is vulnerable. He just saw the strongest man he's ever known reduced to a confused old man. He's scared, and scared people do crazy things. Mm-hmm. I have a question. You brought up the Bolo thing, and I can't remember. Refresh my memory. Does anyone aside from Mai Ling know that it was Assam that killed Bolo?
Nope. Not yet. Also, remember when Jason was with us? He was talking about before Assam, Young-Joon and Bolo were like Young-Joon and Assam. And he said that Young-Joon has not forgotten. I remember he has not forgotten that part.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago in the show. It's like less than a year before.
Damn.
So if he finds that out, and Mylin could well spill the beans on that.
Mm.
It's not like she hasn't before. So Mylin, right. Mylin still holds that card if he ever wanted to use it.
Wow.
Episode 10.
Here you go. Okay. Just for everybody at home, just before we sign off, this is what we were all talking about, the scene we're talking about here. Great job by Tobin and Chen.
Never lasts. And when this deal with Mylin blows up, I'm going to need soldiers who are loyal to me. And when it comes to Assam, he'd dice or die for you, boss.
Fuck.
I'm not sure about that.
Just even the way that Chen delivered that line, like the quivering in his voice.
Yeah.
He dice or die for you, boss. Like, I mean, he's pleading with him there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I don't know if I can handle a war between Young-Joon and Assam.
No, because, me
like,
neither.
They've been boys since he came on the show, right? Like since this show started, since Assam came back to America, like Young-Joon was the guy that took him under his wing, and I mean, always fought for him, and you know that Assam's got that love for him too, but Assam also is his own man more than he is Hop Way, and he's shown that multiple times over the course of this show.
I think if Young-Joon ever finds out about Assam killing Bolo, will not be in a situation that they could actually split. It should be in a situation where they depend on each other, so they will not fight despite of this information, no?
That's the whole
because thing. Otherwise,
by the way, I kill Bolo.
Kill each other.
By the way, Bolo was a bitch. And just in case you're wondering, folks, yes, you can get merch. You can get the merch that we've got here. You can see it in the comment section there. We have merch. That's right. Go to the Hop This Way Show .myshopify. And you can get yourself a nice little shirt just like us. Join our tong, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you want to join the tong and have a drink? You can do that too. We got some wine cozies? Koozies? What do you call these?
Telling you, those are great for coffee.
Oh, coffee too. Oh, geez. I mean,
they are great for coffee.
And they're probably great for tequila, just like I like to drink. we got the shirts. We've got a coffee mug as well, folks. We got it all going on there. If you want, you just go to the Hop This Way Show .myshopify.com.
If you forget, you can also go to our Instagram and follow us, and the link tree is right there.
Do that. Folks, thank you all for, if you're watching on YouTube, as we said, if you are not, if you're watching on Facebook, we love you all the same, but you can go to YouTube and follow the show, hit the bell so you get notified every time we go live, the Hop This Way Show on YouTube. Now, folks, if you don't get a chance to watch it on YouTube or get to see the live stream, what you can also do is listen to the podcast and the podcast. We're on all the podcast services. That's right, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon. So go get your listen on wherever you get your listen on. We would love you kindly for doing all that. You guys are absolutely great for us. Also, if you want a couple things I've been thinking about, but if you have questions you would like to, if you can't join us live but you have questions for us or for the show, you can send us DMs to our Facebook page, the Hop This Way Show. Send us a message there. Give us a question there, and we will try to get to it during the show so that you can have your questions asked as well. We are also toying with the idea of doing a Patreon page. That way, if you can't watch live, You can give your questions there, and your monthly donations help us to keep the show running and making it go a little bit better, you know, and upgrades, if you will. But yeah, that's I think that's it for the cheap plugs. What do you guys think?
I love it.
Love it. And we love all of you for coming out and supporting the show. Steph, what do you got going on coming up this weekend? Where can people find you?
Oh, I'm Asian Hoppa Hip Hop Hippie. But on that note, let's go back to the Instagram. You guys, if you go to our Instagram with the thumbnails, it's a great preview of all of the episodes. So mm-hmm. you can scroll through and see, hey, this is what we were up to in each of them. And then Matt put them all on YouTube. So they're there for you to watch.
Yeah, which is awesome. And Maddie will be back once the strike's over. He's showing solidarity with our fellow brothers and sisters in I'm not in the union, but for all of those that are in the union. But he will be back soon, and he sends out his love and support to all of you that keep supporting the show. What about you, Frank? What do you got going on this week, buddy? Where can people follow you as well?
Frank and Martial Arts on Instagram. Shenanigans I get into with martial arts and otherwise. Might be cats, might be sticks, might be kettlebells, might be getting thrown on the ground, might be getting, hopefully me throwing other people on the ground a little bit. But yeah, Frank and Martial Arts, check me out.
Check them out. And Miss Rebecca Nishi, where can people find you?
On Instagram, Rebecca Nishi, and Warrior Max Geek, and Warrior Max Fans.
She's in the mall. She's all of those that you've been following already. All right. And I'm your boy, Zeus. I don't know why. I'm sure our names are up there. They just didn't, because I got the banners up. But I'm your boy, Zeus. And you can follow me if you like. I got a couple, but you can follow me at Zeus_Fleming Actor on Instagram, or RatG, RATG. Just look at that on Instagram. You'll find me there. And aside from that, folks, like we said, go to YouTube. Give us some support and love there. But aside from that, you guys are absolutely great. We love you coming out each and every week. We love supporting this show that we help bring back from the depths of hell, if you will.
We did. People haven't talked about that much. It was us fans.
It was the fans. Mm-hmm. We fans like really did that. And we're going to keep it going for at least another season, I'm sure. And many more, hopefully. But I think that's it for us this week, folks. There's nothing left for us to do except for wait for it. Oh, and
let's get sticky.
We are so good at that. All right, folks, have a great one.